to another episode of The Flank. I'm joined by the one and only, the human turret, the world champ himself, one of the best ARs getting attacked by a dog right now. Give it up for Sam LaRue, a.k.a. Octane. We got some of the best analysis in the game, world champ himself, Christopher Duarte. We got the multi-world champion, the multi-champion, a legend, an icon to the Call of Duty space. Give it up for Patrick Price, a.k.a. Ace. And, of course, we got the winner only, the executive producer at a flank. Give it up for Benji.
I'm trying to time this. You're muted in Discord. I don't know how delayed this is. You're Jesus super Christ. Muted in Discord.
Sorry, Sam. I'm here. I'm go. Sorry. How you doing? Go. What's up, Sam?
I'm trying to time that up.
Yeah, that's on me. That's on me. I didn't realize I was muted in here. What's up, Sam? How you doing, bro?
I'm doing great. You guys look fantastic. I wish I was a member of that casting couch.
You look good over there, too, Sam. You look good.
Thanks, man.
It's a pleasure. Pat, how you doing, Pat? You doing all right?
Pat's gone. He's not here.
He's not even here. We started the show without even Pat here. He'll come back eventually. He'll come back. Duarte, how you doing, bro? You doing good?
Yeah, I'm great. Excited to be in Miami. The CDL Majors start off today with some good matches, some close games. And then, I've been going out a lot, so... I'm enjoying my time here.
Yeah, it's nice here. I mean, there's obviously, some shootings and shit.
That was crazy.
It was kind of crazy just walking around the area. I mean, it's definitely a pretty sketchy area. So, I mean, be safe if you're obviously at the event and you're walking around. Stay safe. But, Ben, how you doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing good. Did coffee and cod this morning. We have to finish some of the setup. Did my bracket. I think my bracket's already busted. Some interesting matches today. I mean, we all thought, top four would get through. At least one team had some interesting bumps. And I think for the top four teams, this is the 36 to 48 hours you get with Friday off to figure stuff out. And we're going to get some top four square-ups.
Yeah.
On Saturday. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for, obviously, today was day one of Major 2. So it was a lot of energy here. I know the crowd was a little dead today. I feel like Thursdays and Fridays, it's always a little dead with the crowd.
Yeah, because people are working and shit. So it usually picks up on Saturday.
It's harder. But the venue looked good, and it was just nice to be back at an event and just see the atmosphere and see the stage. And obviously, we're back on land. So just really excited. Is Pat back? I think I just heard.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, Pat?
Yeah.
How you doing, brother?
It's good, Tom. I got to switch my mics, but I'm here.
No, you're good, bro.
I still have my headset mic on.
Yo, Pat, can you talk real quick? Or Sam, can you talk real quick?
Hello, Benjay, 4-23, Luigi.
Come on, Sam. What the fuck?
I just want to make sure you were too loud before.
Question, do I sound normal here? Because I know you guys normally say sound quiet.
Yeah, you sound fine if you want to keep that mic. I think you're fine.
Can we just keep it?
I think you're fine. I think you're okay. Guys, we wouldn't be here without Xfinity, so I just want to take a second to shout out Xfinity. If you guys want some of the fastest, most reliable internet, make sure to go check out Xfinity. I obviously can't thank them enough with all the support that they've shown to the flank. It's supported all of us, and, we wouldn't be right here on this couch doing what we're doing right now if it wasn't for Xfinity. And, being us, being gamers, man, you need the best internet, guys. So go check out Xfinity. They're doing incredible work. So huge shout out to them. They've been great to work with. So let's get some W's in the chat for Xfinity. But, guys, how'd you guys think about day one for the event? I mean, what did you guys think?
I already get my thoughts if Chris wants to go.
What did you think, Chris?
It was a good day. I mean, Legion put up a fight against Ultra. Granted, the overall scoreline didn't really show it.
Mm-hmm.
They could have easily taken the series. And then on top of that, we got a banger last match between the Thieves and the FaZe boys. And then, obviously, I know the Green Wall. Super happy with Optic's performance because they looked really dominant today.
Yeah, no, they played well. Thought the Green Wall looked really good. Sam, I know that last series we had kind of a FaZe LA Thieves little watch party going on, and we were kind of going back and forth with the shit talk. But what did you think about day one here at the Major?
All the predictions went according to plan, but how the series actually played out were a little surprising. Mainly the FaZe one. I thought the rest of the series were pretty cut and dry, but... Yeah, I did not expect the FaZe series to be as close as it was. And we had the whole leadership. We had Nade, Kayshawn, Temper was in there.
Honor
we had everybody.
Honor fucking violence in the call.
Yeah, no, really. We had FaZe, Temper. We had Nade shot. I mean, it was a good time. It was a very good time. Pat, I know you've been working a little bit. You said you were watching some of the games. What did you think about day one?
As expected, Tom. As expected for me. I know people got a little nervous in that FaZe series, but I never had a doubt personally.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, if you want me to be honest, I don't even think the tournament started yet.
Yeah,
I'm just
going to
be real with you guys.
Today's just a formality we got to get through.
Yeah,
that's why I was saying start these guys in losers. I know, get the buys going. One less day, but.
Yeah, well, obviously, talk about it. Let's hop into the first series of the day. First series, we got the Las Vegas Legion going up against Toronto Ultra. Toronto Ultra end up getting the 3-0 over the Vegas Legion. We'll scroll down and take a look at the stat sheet. But I will say, I'll start things off. I don't think the 3-0 on the stat sheet really tells the whole story with today's series with Vegas and Toronto Ultra. I mean, I thought Vegas came out today and looked great. I mean, they were coming out, and they were really testing Toronto to their limits, especially in the first map. I thought Vegas kind of threw that away. Obviously, that was the Rio, and Vegas went up so much, and then they kind of just let up at the end. But, Ben, I'll let you kick it off. I mean, what did you think about the Vegas-Toronto series?
I don't think Purge had a great individual game. I'm sure we'll get to that in a bit. And to your point, yeah, the Rio was close. We'll talk about whatever the F happened in that round 11 invasion, then sort of a gritty game 5 invasion led to the 3-0. So it's one of those, like, close 3-0s that I don't think Vegas played their best COD today. If he did, it would have been a banger. But for Toronto, some good VOD to watch back, things to work on over the next 36 hours before your next matchup.
Yeah, for sure. Chris, what did you think about the series?
Pretty much what Ben said, but I will argue that, like, you could say that they didn't play their best game, but I think, like, when it comes down to them playing against a top four team and a slate heavy team like Toronto, this is probably as close as they're going to get with their current team and just how they match up. Because, I mean, like, Purge has improved a lot, and there's no doubt in that. But a lot of their matches at home, when he was showing those improvements, were against the lower half of the league. But whenever you're playing against the top four, like, he's outclassed. Like, yeah. It's plain simple. I will, like, tip their teamwork, because with Purge essentially not really shooting back in the series, they were still managing to keep these games close. I think Attach also didn't play as good as he normally does against some of the other teams, but Gio and Nero really stepped up, and although Nero did have a really great series and Gio played well, Nero did something that we're going to talk about soon, because that
was
crazy.
He made a mistake today.
A big mistake.
I got that pulled up. We'll pull it up in just a second, but Sam, what did you think about the series?
I loved the performance out of Nero, because he was, like, kind of trending a little bit downwards in the online qualifiers, but he came out today, obviously had a pretty horrific play in the round 11 game too, that we'll get to, but I like the series out of him. Gio showed up his first LAN event with these guys and has a fucking phenomenal series. Little disappointed out of Dill. I know we've been kind of touting how well he's been playing, so to see him underperform here a little bit was a little disappointing. And then yeah, Purge just kind of regressed to the mean a little bit in terms of where he's been at. But this was a scrap masterclass through and through. This guy literally willed them to victory all three games.
Superstar. Yeah, I mean, Scrap he's been unreal for Toronto. I mean, he's been crazy.
He's been unbelievable.
I think just consistency with him, too, is what's really, like, impressive. It's just every single series. He's just
been the best
numbers.
Player in the league since he literally got into the league.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, Cell in terms of, like, consistency factor. Mm-hmm. But, like, Scrap is
different.
Is fucking insane.
He plays at, like, a really fast pace with an AR, and he puts on a lot of damage. Yeah, he flexes a lot.
So that's,
as well.
Like, that's typical. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people be like, dude, like, we're always glazing Scrap and stuff like that. And it's not like he's our friend. He is our friend. But at the same time, like, you just can't doubt, like, how well this guy plays.
Yeah, just saying it how it is. But
yeah,
Pat, what did you think about the series? Vegas Legion, they lose 3-0. But first map probably should have went Vegas' way. And then second map, I think there was a big mistake there from Nero. I mean, definitely think Vegas played Toronto well. But ultimately, I think this is what we all predicted. What did you think, Pat?
Yeah, I know we're going to say Nero played well, and he did, but I feel like that's just what you kind of expect from a player like Nero, and I don't mean this with any disrespect, but like,
the play that he made or the play,
like, yeah, just like making bonehead plays in the clutch. Like, there's some players that just, they play at a pace where obviously they're going to get kills, but they make plays that clearly cost you. Like, I think the best way to think about it is situations where, like, you don't got to do anything special. Let the game come to you. But there's players, him, Vivid, there's a lot of players like that play that way. And I think that was super costly to extending the series, because it was close. But I was let down by Attach. I don't know about you guys. He was the best player in Stage 2 in the online qualifiers. And I think this was like one series that he couldn't afford to have a bad series in, almost. And then on the side of Purge, I mean, I tried to say this before the event, and I still feel this way currently, and I think I'll still feel this way after this event.
this team has a chance to be good, and I just don't think Perjay on the team can do that. So
I think we said it when we were doing predictions. We were basically saying that in order for Vegas to beat Toronto, they all had to be on their A game, and two of their players like majorly showed up, and the other two kind of didn't have their best series. Even if Perge had maybe like a 1.0, obviously like stats don't tell the whole story, but if he was able to even go relatively close to even and maybe attach even did the same, they probably beat these guys.
I mean, Dillon did have the second most damage on a team. I think he was having a hard time finishing kills.
He was contributing, obviously.
Perge is definitely just, I don't know, man. I just, they must see something else in him other than what he's dropping on the scoreboard, because let's be honest, what he's been dropping on the scoreboard just hasn't been good.
He just runs into trouble against like the slay heavy teams, especially in the top four. Like, he's just not on the tier of the players that he's playing against.
I'll say this, because I agree with Pat. I think the next day or two potentially is going to be really big for what they want to do after this major. But, I mean, to be fair to Vegas, I don't think any of us had them picked to win the series. And I think the real tournament for them starts, obviously, tomorrow in the loser's bracket run. But it's a better performance. We'll get to that later, Pat. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get there.
I don't even know. We have to.
Let's tune in. This is the play actually from Nero. So it's around 11 here in the map two, and Nero makes a great play. I love the off angle here. He gets a kill. He's able to stay alive. He drops the nade, gets another one shot. But it's the play
lay prone right here. Just lay prone.
Yeah, just lay prone. Just make them overextend because he ends up sliding out. He had the bomb too, right? Like he's got a good bomb, a line of sight there onto the bomb, so they can't really do anything. And then kind of just forces everybody else to just kind of overextend. Now Vegas is kind of screwed here, and there's really not much that they can do. Definitely a misplay there.
You just forced it to be mixy because, like, Dill had to follow it up, and then the other teammate followed it up. And it's one of those things where it's like, and I've seen this. I mean, I'm sure you guys, like, again, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but, like, I'm sure Nero watching this back is like, wow, that was a bonehead move. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee you he'll still make plays like that in the future. And it's just, I think it just comes down to certain players, whether they have it or don't have it, where in the moment they don't have the capability to decide, you know, the do nothing strat, like just the ability to say like I don't got to do anything in this moment. And so for me, I mean, I think that you just live and die by this. Like, you know what you're gonna get out of Nero. He's obviously, he can get kills. He's a solid player, but I expect this to happen all year long, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's just the tier of SMGs, right? Like, the best SMGs in the game have kind of mastered that, like, go button, and then on top of that, just understanding when to play their lives. And the tier below them, like, you're either going to get the people that are really, like, campy, not campy, but, like, flank heavy, and then you're going to get the people that are just really aggressive, but they don't know when to stop flanking, or they don't know when to stop being aggressive and just let the game come to them or adjust their
play style. And he made the play to win in the round.
He was
11-8. Yeah, I mean, he ended the map 11-8. I mean, this was a scoreboard here. I'll switch on over so you guys can take a look. But this was a scoreboard here after the map number two. And listen, Nero's a great player. Like, he's a good player. He's very talented, especially mechanically. Like, you could tell he's a very talented player. It's just decision-making is like, when it comes to winning events and when it comes to land, like, you just got to make sure that you're just playing fundamentally sound. And those mistakes are what's going to kill you, especially against a team like Toronto Ultra, because they'll take advantage of that every day of the week. And I even think Scrappy was here on the watch party. He was saying the same thing. He said, when he slid out, we knew we had it. We knew he fucked up. And Pat, I agree. I think Nero knows in the moment that he fucked up. Like, he's a smart guy. He's a good player.
As soon as he slid out that door.
He knew.
But he doesn't have the capability to not do it in the moment. Like, I think we've seen it. We'll continue to see it. And I think that's what separates the real top SMGs from everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, I think you don't think he can ever adapt, Pat, and like learn?
I mean, I've seen players like this for 15 years, Tom, and I feel like they, you know, it's one of those things where like you can teach it, they can listen to it, they can see it, they can understand it, but in the heat of the moment, it just doesn't click. It doesn't happen until after the fact where they're like, wow, that was really dumb. And they know it was dumb. It's not like they don't. It's just, I've seen it a lot where it's like those players that are very fast paced, very one geared. They can't make that call in the moment. That
it's very rare that will like get fixed in like the near future. It's one of those things that comes with like multiple years of like experience.
Well, I think I think
Hoop's on that same level. Look at Hoop last year in that Optic play.
Absolutely.
Well, the Nero specifically,
he's the extreme. Though,
didn't we have with him and Reese? Like, didn't we have this criticism a lot on them last year in Montfort? Remember how many like game fives they tossed away by like dumb ego Charles and Search is bad communication. I agree with you, Pat. Like, he's got to figure out, add a little bit of discipline. He did enough in that round to basically close out, and then he made one more extra decision that cost them. So it's just real tough to see.
What were you going to say, Sam? It sounded like you were about to say something.
I was just agreeing with Pat on the Kyler point. I think Kyler's just like the very end of that, of like Pat's point.
That is the extreme
indecision. Yeah, he's the far outlier of it for sure. Yeah.
And he's super talented. It's just.
Yeah. I agree, though. It's just like a gear switching thing that you see with the top subs. And I like, while you kind of have to roll with the punches that play or with players that play like that way, Nero, Kyler, Vivid, like these just fast paced, they're going to win you games, but they're also going to lose you games. But the thing about the play round 11, like I know in the moment, as soon as he died, he was like, oh fuck. But the thing about him sliding out of that door is attach also Chow's. Because he is probably just like, ah, fuck it, bro. Like, if we're going to do something, we're going to do it together as a team. Because that's just, even if it's a bad play, if we do it together, it's chances are it'll work. So, like, that him sliding out that door is just a chain reaction of fuckery in the round 11.
Mm-hmm. And it was everybody, right? Like, attached dropped, someone else chowed right after because it was just a panic moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And then Jet think Gio was the last one up and he was kind of out of the play. He was like watching flank and shit. Yeah. So, tough round there. I'm sure Vegas is going to watch that one back and. You know, they're not going to be happy looking at that. But let's move on to the control. Then we get into the control. This was the 2-2 round. And honestly, I just thought that Vegas needs to be more proactive here. So three go dead here. All right. Three guys. And you see number four, he starts to inch up to this point now. So he gets on the point. Boom. I think right here, number three needs to get to the street and help this guy on hill and pick up his cross, maybe even put some shots down into the guy crossing. And then number two, I think, needs to chill out. It's Nero, again, who I think is just going a little rogue here. Like, right here, I want him to just chill and, like, L-trigger this cross here and make them run by him. But instead, he slides out. He ends up getting picked. He ends up dying. And then the whole entire setup just kind of crumbles here. And that was a moment right there where I was like, man, that was the opportunity for Vegas to get on that point and make something happen. I mean, do you think that was an opportunity there for Vegas as well? And do you like the way they play that
we
situation?
We talk about this all the time, Tom. That Mannequin's guy is so important to watch across the hill, especially if it's a Nixy kind of rush situation. They're coming off that gas spawn. Like, the guy on hill can shimmy and give you info on where to peek. It seemed like, he wanted to make a pinch play because he thought there was going to be more kills that gone down. But I agree. All Nero had to do is kind of watch across. And listen, maybe they lose the gunfights and they lose it, but that would have been, like, I think, the correct play in the situation. Do you agree, Sam?
I think him playing his life in Mannequin for his gas cross, whoever was on point, was the most important thing. But whoever came off spawn and went mid-court, I think also made the wrong choice here because the guy on point had to worry about both sides at this point. So I think if he had gone street to cut their side of the point as opposed to running up court, giving seven this timing, now I think who purges on point has to turn because his cross is open on the backside. I think it's just like a cascade of errors. I think Nero could have played the situation better, but I think Dill also kind of messed up here by not getting the closest angle for purge on point.
I feel like once,
then he's just looking back and forth. He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, I feel like once you have somebody on the point, like the one thing you want to do is just try and help them. Like, if your teammate's
just
on the point, like, get
out of the point.
Yeah, get into a position where you can help them because you can help them from a lot of different areas on a map, you know, as long as you have an angle and you put some shots
down. If
Dill
had gone A street here, one, he wouldn't be able to die to seven without overextending into that gunfight, so he would have had guaranteed info on him. And Purge could only angle their side. Assuming Nero plays the situation properly and helps the gas cross, that is the best case scenario because seven would have to overextend to either kill Dill or kill Purge on the point.
Seven also made the play rather than, like, tweaking out and, like, worrying about the point. He just played for the spawners and he catches like Dylan slipping, so he gets a really heads up play.
100%. I mean, it sometimes it's not even about playing for the kills, right? Like, if Dylan's street, it's just about putting bullets into people, tagging them up. That way it keeps Purge alive. Like, if anybody pushes Purge on point, they're gonna be weak. They're gonna be one shot. He's gonna pick up free kills, and it'll make everybody's job easier. I mean, Paco did a great job with it in the New York series. He just gets on a point by himself. They kind of just help around him, and they were able to work a four dead and stack the point, and that's all she wrote. But that was the control there. Toronto, they end up 3-0-ing the Vegas Legion. I mean, guys, any final thoughts on a Vegas-Toronto series?
Those were some very winnable maps.
Agreed.
I don't want to attribute map one to a throw on the side of Vegas because I think Toronto just really outplayed the second rotation. Map two was absolutely a toss-up, and this year should have at least gone to a game four. So they did get 3-0'd, but there's some shining moments here for Vegas. And I think that this was an expected result for them, regardless of how the maps actually went. So I think their real tournament does start tomorrow. And I think we all have them probably advancing at least a little bit into loser's bracket. So they need to take the good moments from today, forget they lost, and see what we can do.
So they're on the top side of loser's bracket, and they're going to play Seattle. Obviously, we'll do predictions later, but they're going to play Seattle. The teams on the other side is Miami and Carolina. So
Seattle. They got nothing to worry
about. That's
what
I said. Yeah, so
there's opportunities for Vegas to get top six and beyond.
I have Vegas. I don't know about you. I'm assuming everyone in here did a bracket, but I have Vegas up until they play a top four team again, and that's why I have them losing.
We did the same.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the next series of the day. We have the New York Subliners going up against the Boston Breach. NYSL get the 3-1 victory over Boston. It was actually Boston who come out and dominate the first map. I mean, I think the way that Boston came out the first map, I was like, holy shit, they might actually do this.
It was the ASIM show.
It was the ASIM show. ASIM came out and shut it down in the map one. And then after that, it was just not looking good for the Boston Breach. I mean, we'll scroll down. Little jump scare. Oh, shit. Not looking good here, honestly, for fucking anybody. I mean, I definitely think for New York, it seems a little bit more balanced.
ASIM and Hydra were 1v1-ing, bro.
Why can't people on Boston get kills, Tom?
I don't know. I really don't know why they have a hard time getting... Actually, I can tell you why. They don't play good. They don't have different gears, bro. We've talked about these gears, Pat. We've talked about this. When they get kills and they get three or four dead, they just go. Like, they just don't stop. They just sprint, 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 die, and then it's like nothing comes from it, right? Like, they do a good job getting the kills initially, but they don't do a good job making the right decisions
when
after
they can
that.
Really punish.
After right, when you can punish. There was one play on Skid Row, and granted, Boston won like crazy, but it's just an example of like one hill. But it was like, I think it was a P3. Everybody died. Boston killed all four of them. They got New York spawning back P2. And Snoopy just jumps off a plat, runs into garage, sprints through garage, and then dies.
There's another point in that match, too. Like, it was whenever the Boston called in their streak, breaking P5. Mm-hmm. They got, like, all that space. They didn't even get into the objective. And they just, like, ego-chowed, like, all the, like, repeak angles from New York and just died. I was just like, wait, this is your time to literally farm them. They're all trapped in garage. They're about to come out, and you just get free kills.
Yeah, nope. I mean, listen, a lot of these teams have the same problems, bro. Like, outside of the top four, the rest of the teams, they have the same issues. They all have the same problems. Like, their decision-making after doing the hard part is what's messing with them. It's fucking them up, and you see it clear as day, and good teams will punish you for it all day to week. But, I mean, Pat, we'll go to you. What did you think about the series? New York, they come out, they get the dub 3-1 over Boston. What did you think?
I mean, I was worried for all of 10 minutes, Tom, and then after that, my worries went away. Boston had ASIM doing the ASIM clap, and they couldn't turn it into anything. I fear for this Boston squad. Obviously got pooped on after map one, but I'm just worried about them long term. Like
map two was pretty close though, no?
Yeah, it was.
Map two was good.
Boston was playing really good defenses, and Slasher they got was 1v3'd. Playing really well. And then they got 1v3.
They got, which I pulled up. I have a clip. I want to pull it up.
I mean,
ASIM can't be the best player on this team.
Yeah,
period.
I think they have a couple of issues. One is obviously the Preston Lawson, the slang is always going to be inconsistent, and they're not there. And listen, Snoop is so far from being the kind of player they need on the team, like decision making, communication. I mean, we've talked about it a lot over the last couple of weeks with them. Like, that's just the reality of their team. I think their like floor ceiling is just so far apart, and results like this are going to happen, and it is what it is. Unless they make the roster change.
This team also just doesn't stand a chance against like they're. I said this before the watch party. I said they are not going to be able to win this series because they don't have a leg up against New York. I think relatively with the way that New York has been playing and how like they're not like a slay. I don't think they're a slay heavy team. I'm going to say that again. They're not a slay heavy team when it comes to their entire roster. They are a teamwork heavy team and a search and destroy specialist team. That is what New York strives at right now. And Boston, like, they just don't have a leg up in S&D. So when it comes down to respawns, like, sure, they might take one here or there, right? They can split them 50-50, but it's going to come down to that search, and they're just not good enough at that game mode to beat New York at it. And that's literally that's the main difference maker in this series. Because even though they had a close game, if they would have won that, hypothetically, they push a game five, right? So. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, agreed. Anybody got any thoughts before we take a look at some of these clips? Obviously from the series, I mean, one of them was the 1v3. I mean, this was a big round. I mean, it's a 2-2 round. It's the fifth round of the second map, and we'll kind of see how it all plays out. So you can see Kismet. It starts. It's Kismet who gets the 1v3 here. You can see Hydra. He tried to make a play because they were down a man, but the Bulldog, He's able to find one. He gets tagged up. I don't know how he won the second gunfight. He was one
bro,
shot.
He was 9 HP and Snoop didn't have a fucking
He was 9 tough. HP, and I don't know if Snoopy panicked and just missed every shot.
Was
I really
Snoopy
don't know.
Weak when he was, like, staying down?
I don't believe he was weak.
No, he never
was. He wasn't weak.
No, he never was. Like,
yeah, I don't know what he was.
Personally,
looked like he was licking a wall. I'm not gonna lie.
He was, but personally, the first cut you should get for your teammate if he's pushing up towards like to help you escalators is going to be the escalators. Otherwise, stuff like this is gonna happen.
Comms, Chris.
So I'm not really sure why he was looking hallway or licking a wall or whatever. But
he wasn't even looking hallway, bro. He's literally staring in a corner.
Yeah, he was paranoid that he would have died from like top third or something.
And if you're P-Dog, you're probably like, how did I just die from Esky? Right?
But like, that's the thing, though. It's like you're in a 3v1. You're the front man. Your job is to play information. Your life is completely irrelevant. Like, you staying down is, like, not important. You should be, like, up there, shimmying, getting information, trying to spot this player. And even if you die, at least your teammate knows where he's coming from. People like to make this this terminology. It's called getting front baited. It's where the teammate in front of you baits the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
That's essentially what happened. I guess he did it unintentionally. But
unintentionally,
like,
yeah,
bro, you were the first guy in line. Your job is information and information only. I don't care if you fucking die. Yeah. And he just played it completely wrong, and it cost him it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely a round that I thought Boston had in the bag. And then this was the offense. This was the first offense of the map that was won, which was big because it was going back and forth, just back and forth all game, a lot of defensive wins, and this was the offense that gave New York that little bump there. And it starts with Dante doing his dumbass slide to the pole. I don't know why Dante does this slide to the pole. He gets blooded all the time doing his – he tries to slide to that pole. And
so
I don't know
most of the time
doing.
What he does is he shimmies the escalators, and he assumes that if nobody's playing the escalators, he can shimmy to – or he can slide to the pole to draw fire from the guy top red or get information on him.
Hold on,
problem is he doesn't ever account for a guy playing close, so he just dies if a guy's there every time.
So back up real quick to after they get this kill. So Preston sees number four slide books, and what does Austin do after? Does he not actually see this guy at all?
Preston didn't see fucking anything.
Oh, he got
crazy,
bro. Paco got insane timing. I actually didn't even notice this.
Yeah, well, he sees the guy run away at AC. That's what happened. Like, the guy.
That's why Preston turns, because he thinks, and then, well, yeah, Paco actually gets incredible timing, because otherwise.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know if that's, like, bad timing. I think it's just Paco finding a gap and just being a good player.
Well,
like, having good game sense.
So Paco, as soon as Asim shoots, he thinks, okay, I'm probably going to have a 1v1. And he also saw Slasher run away.
He saw Slasher
so
turn
he probably
his back
thinks,
on the lane.
Exactly. He probably thinks he has a 1v1 with a guy close hallway. So he checks it, and he's like, wait, no one's here. So he finds a gap.
Exactly.
Right.
That's just what the good players do. Like, if they see somebody give up a lane or if they see a gap, like, they'll hit it and they'll make a play. And that's what Paco does. He didn't hesitate. Sometimes you'll see people hesitate. Like, they'll see there's a gap that they know it's open, but you can see them kind of double guessing themselves, and it ends up fucking them. Paco's decisive. He just goes for it. He makes the play, and he catches Austin with his pants down. Austin's probably sitting there, how the hell is this guy in our fucking AC? And that pretty much just kicks it off. And now it's a 3v3 situation. And Boston, they give up plane. Like, New York, they waltz into plane. Like, they had the blood. And New York, Boston, they gave it up. They decided they just let them have it. And then you can see the setup comes in. I thought it was a ballsy play from the Bulldog jumping out. But he heard the click.
He heard the grenade click and instantly activated on it.
Great play. He hears the click. He knows that he doesn't have his gun up. And he makes a play on that. And then Paco, he tucks himself in a little weird off angle here. Like, nobody's going to check fucking under here. Good little spot here. And he was able to find the kills go down. It was a 1v1 situation. But because New York had the numbers, the trades go in their favor. They win the first offense of the map. That ultimately leads to them winning the second map. It was good plays from New York there. And it was their first map win on land this season, which is crazy coming from the world champs themselves. And then we get into the control. This was the offense that New York was able to win on invasion. After this, they won back-to-back defenses. You guys know how invasion control goes. But just kind of show you guys how this all gets set up. I mean, what do you guys think about Boston's setup here? Because you have Slasher who's across the map, which I don't know how I feel about that, knowing that B point is gone and it's the only A point that's left. Granted, he does have the cross, so he's probably just trying to put some shots down into people. But you can see how these people on the point get isolated and the trades come in. New York wins the trades. They get onto the point, and you'll just see the difference in how New York
plays
it.
Is there any way we can go back and see like how they initially got into that setup? Because it seems like really out of pace how Snoopy was able to get into Cafe and he's by himself, so he gets isolated. Like, go back like a little bit further before this. I just want to see how, like, so Snoopy's literally pushed up a search. He runs in because of the streak. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they just got streaked. That's why they're so spread.
Yeah.
Because I was like wondering, like, Snoopy's ISO'd. Like, look how spread their setup is. So I was just curious to see how that actually happened.
But I think the key here with this setup is we just watched Vegas, right? And what happened when Purge was on the point and his teammates were coming off spawn. But when you see here with New York, you see this. Boom, boom, bada bing, boom, right? Everybody dies. New York comes off spawn, right? Bang, bang. Two guys come up. Now, look, watch what they do off the spawn. They both hit street.
Yeah.
Boom. They throw their attacks over, probably. I mean, I can't see, but they probably start Hork attacks. They get their cross. They put the shots down, and it's clinical. They get right back into the play.
Do you think one thing, maybe my question to you guys, is when the Asian comes off a spawn, he goes to the side of the hill, do you think, and they have no info, so maybe he thinks there's someone in mannequin, he's just kind of playing a corner. Do you think if he goes in the mannequin and he can watch across the hill and watch across that old P1, that probably would have been.
Let me see. Wait, what are you talking about? When?
Asim? I mean, Asim's just at this point, his teammate. No,
but he gets there early. He gets there pretty early, though. I think he has no info, and that's why he plays like this, off the streak. But, like, Snoop's in P1.
I mean, yeah, with Snoop, that's a good point, Ben. Yeah. I mean, with Snoop being in P1.
So they kind of have all the info. Bro, I would almost rather them
double P1. I'm not even lying.
Yeah, not P1, sorry.
I would almost rather them double the point. Because a lot of the time, if, like, people don't expect two people to be on point. So if, like, they don't get that initial info right, they get number 6 weak with the wall bangs and stuff like that. If they slide in, they're probably going to be surprised that there's two people there.
You get to the court, too. I just think, again, like, it's just tough. It's tough for him to be in a position to really, like, get the cross kill hundo P, especially if you think someone's pushed up street. I don't think at the end of the day, to your point, like, the streak and they'll play New York City when they got the kills, but I just thought.
I mean, their dog shit setup is literally a product of them getting streaked and having to spread, which basically left Snoopy isolated. And, like, he's the key there. Like, if he gets one, this can potentially be a completely different play. But, I mean, and New York did a really good job of, like, calling in the streak and calling out where the players were and then ISOing all the players that were in solo spots. So,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really Boston's fault here. I think it was just great play out of New York.
It was. It was a great play from them. I just like how they get back into the play and they pick up the crosses. And all you need is one guy on the point initially. Once you get one guy on the point, you get the other team scattering. They start to panic. They start running around. You start getting free picks. And it just makes everything a lot easier. But New York, they get an easy victory. I mean, we don't really need to talk about the sub base too much. I thought it was pretty one-sided. I thought New York kind of just slammed them, and they get the victory here. I mean, Pat, any final thoughts here with New York and Boston?
No, but I am worried about Boston, Tom. I'm sure Ben's going to say we'll get there. I'm not 100% who they play, but I'm worried about this squad. After what I saw today, I'm predicting they go out sad top 12.
Well, they play Minnesota, so I actually think they got a chance of that one. But they're going to play the Thieves.
I think they go out sad.
I don't know. I mean, I'll say this for
Lamar. Lamar's already survived a big battle. I don't think he's losing tomorrow.
I'll say this about Boston. Like, based on the last couple of series, Respawn is super up and down. Their control is not that great. The S&D has gotten better over the split. And you think about a series against Minnesota, like, that could come in really critical. But, like, do I expect them to beat Thieves?
I think they've shown improvements, but again, it's kind of like the same thing as Vegas. Like, Vegas have shown improvements, but like when it comes to the top four, they're just outclassed. It's kind of the same thing here with Breach. Like, I think you put Breach against any of the other bottom teams, like, they have close games regardless.
Yeah. But that's going to do it for Boston, New York. Obviously, New York get their first win on land of the year, so I'm sure they're going to ride through that momentum and try and keep that going. Boston, they obviously fall. We'll take a look at the bracket after review the matches, but let's hop in to the next series of the day. This was the third series, and we have Optic Texas going up against the Miami Heretics. I'll be honest, I don't think this one was close.
Scroll down. Let's see the jump scare here.
Is there a jump scare here?
Good Lord!
Oh, Jesus!
Bro, this team is so bad. They're 0-9 on land, by the way. They've never won a map on land.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Home major.
Yeah.
They all are just red carpet phenoms, series after series.
Red carpet phenoms is actually the craziest name, man.
I mean, that's what they are. Like, they just show up and get world starred. It doesn't matter who they play. They could play any team, and they just show up and get world starred.
I will say
they have been 6-0'd by Optic.
I will say that first invasion hardpoint,
halfway through, they were competitive.
Yeah.
And then there was an app. Wait, did you pull up the spawn, Tom?
Is the spawn and then the P3 and
the absolute insane spawn that happened that ended up like swaying the next hill in favor of Optic, which then Optic basically ended up snowballing into absolutely fucking shitting on them for the rest of the map was crazy.
This right here, right, Chris? This is what you wanted. Right.
Yeah, it was right before. I think it was like right before. Yeah, it was right before it.
So the right before this?
Well, it.
Cause I see a spawn coming. I see a spawn coming here, right here. Look, here it comes. Three,
comes,
boom!
Wow.
Number seven, boom, right there.
But the thing is, though, why the fuck did Miami spawn there in the first place to block that spawn to give seven? Like, go back further, right before before Miami even spawned there.
Let's watch the hill. Let's watch the hill play out. There's about.
So Lucky takes an amazing route here. He gets behind all of their team. He gets this. He ends up dealing with. He ends up just blocking this for a while, and then they deal with number six. Okay, boom. What the hell did you do? So all these spawns now should be Miami. Like, Miami should spawn with them the whole time. Look at this. Mm-hmm. Okay, one, two. Okay, keep it going.
Yeah, but he spawns behind
what
them, which
the
makes
fuck?
No, the palace spawn makes no sense. And then they double spawn there. And then Miami spawns palace. I'm thinking with number four pushed up here, he'd probably be blocking that. But, I mean, he still spawns there. And if you're AG, you're like, what the fuck?
AG spawn pushed out into a fucking setup. I mean,
and then the next spawn that comes in is from Dashy, and Dashy spawns out palace. So
I get there are, like, assumed justifications that you can make. It's like, oh, Optic got hill control for a second.
Bro.
Or, oh, the hill is white. But that's not even readable. Basically, the game just, like, the game cheats you from, like, a hill.
Yeah,
and it's happened to many teams.
And we've said that too, right?
Guys.
The hill was white, which, the hill's white might mess with some fuck shit, but, I mean, imagine being a player in game, right? The hill goes white for 2 seconds when people are coming off spawn. You're like, where the fuck did they just spawn?
It's not even like something that you can avoid. It's like, oh, I killed them on the point. The hill's white while I run to it. Oh, a fuck spawn just happened as I killed them. Like,
and Optic, they locked down so much time here.
But let me say this, Chris, and this is the problem I have with this Miami team is, like, they are so momentum-based as a fucking team. Because we watch this example. What was the final score of this map, Tom? They got like
the final 20. Score of this map was 250 to 165.
So they got 30 more points after that. And Optic outscored them like 150 to 30. This is what this Miami team's problem is, bro. They tilt. They can't get back on level. They can't rotate early and try and get the momentum back. And sometimes they come in a series and they're hot. Sometimes they come in a series and they're
stinkers. That's the thing with like
go ahead.
That's the thing with most of the teams that are bottom of the top four. They don't have a reset button where if something is going wrong for them, they don't know how to reset and regain an advantage. So you'll see teams just end up like going on these long sprees of just missing a rotation here or there and just getting funneled and broken. Like when you look at the top four teams, they understand when they need a reset. They hard rotate, then they end up holding a 60, and now the game is back in their hands and they're in control of the situation. But these bottom four teams, or not bottom four teams, but the lower half of the league just simply does not have those
we don't see this Miami team. And again, they put Optic today, like, you know, I'm sure from the Optic guys after that first series they got 3-0 by Miami, this has been kind of a personal series for them with the 3-0, but like for Miami.
They gotta
Miami,
let the 3-0 thing go, bro. They're beating the shit out of these guys.
I mean, AG sat there and ripped the 3-0 for 15
seconds
on stage.
They gotta let it go,
dude. But
he's gotta let that go, Sam. He's gotta let it go.
I think for Miami, it's listen, like they just gotta find a way to grind these series out. And I just think they get bowled over too much when they lose a first
this
map.
Team
like
is just chalked, bro. Like,
bro, why are we trying to solve these? Blow this team up.
They still got one more match. I mean, they got at least a loser bracket run here if they can do it. Like,
that's the thing, bro. It's like,
don't even show up. Just start networking to find a better team tomorrow.
The only maps.
I'm trying to be solutions oriented.
The only maps that seems like that. This Miami team is competitive on now is Rio, and like Optic is a pretty good Rio team. They vetoed it. Yeah. They were like, play us on these other maps.
Go
and they just had zero leg up.
Respect that.
Great fucking vetoes.
Respect
and then on top of that, you got a well oiled machine Optic right now, like playing with really good teamwork, and they just got obliterated.
Yeah.
No, I love the only takeaway from this series, obviously they just out-talented Miami and beat the shit out of them, but the vetoes and the picks today from Optic were great. They got an invasion hardpoint rep, which they play but not super frequently, and they got a Rio S&D rep, which is super big for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had like literally the most dominant control I think I've watched this year. But
yeah,
the picks and the vetoes this season, or this series, excuse me, were like pretty much the only thing I was concerned about.
Optic
like
literally beat Miami on Rio Search and Destroy 2-4.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
It was big for their map pool going forward in the tournament because they're like Ben, but everyone that's played here is like, you can show up to an event being like not exactly confident on a map, and you could just randomly be godlike at it on the weekend.
Oh yeah.
So this could be a weird in there because they don't really have a lot of reps on those two maps.
Yeah.
I listen, this Miami team, I think I see where you guys are going. I mean, they're gonna play Carolina next. Like, who knows with Carolina, but Miami's a team in real trouble, and obviously Real, I think his visa situation, it seems like, is either sorted now or he's getting his, you know, his passport, filing his passport with the stamp soon. So I think he'll be in the mix here, and Miami's just got to figure out
the team are dropping, Ben? Because I think going into this, we all thought Eric Boone was the guy, but now Meadows is also the guy. Like, his team just sucks.
They don't have any good players. This is where they lose, by the way, as well, on the Karachi. This is where Miami breaks.
You got 2 weeks to figure it out, though. Like, I mean, they got some time.
I don't know how prideful they are, but they got to drop the entire Spanish pride here and just pick up better players, period.
Like, yeah, they're not going to do that, bro.
I don't care what they do. I mean, if they're not going to do it, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. They're not going to qualify for champs.
I'm sure Real's coming in. By the way, great play from Dashi and Kenny here. I love the way they worked this site. The way they were able to work this B site and just kind of slow play with their ARs. And honestly, you just see Miami right there. You just see them running into L-triggers with Kenny and Dashi. They're just running at them. And it's clinical. I mean, it was easy for Optic today. They made it look easy. You could kind of just see that Miami just, again, going through the motions. They collapse very, very easily. And even looking at the scoreboard, they're just having a hard time getting kills. So
it is a 3-0.
Yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. I thought Optic looked great today. I mean, granted, they are playing Miami, but I think them coming off the online stage being 7-0 and then coming out and getting a 3-0 versus Miami, like, we can't deny that they look good going into the rest of the weekend. They look really good.
They do look good. And NBA players showing up at LA Fitness also look good.
Mm-hmm. Odie Mello. I think
we'll get a good test tomorrow. I mean, if we reference the series.
You mean Saturday, right?
Saturday.
Or, yeah. Jesus, we got to wait a whole day.
I don't know. I'm excited.
Yeah, Saturday we'll get a good test. Because their game went, round 11, right? Or not round 11, game 5 when they played online. So
against Toronto,
I'm just really excited.
Yeah, Toronto
really
took both hard points. So
I'm really excited for their matchup against Toronto because I think both Toronto and Optic still have map pool issues to figure out. Optic probably, at least online, they look like the much better team. But this is LAN, and this is going to be a banger, dude. I'm really excited to watch this.
They have map pool issues, but depending on
how they want to go,
they don't like high-rise S&D. Like, there's a couple of...
Do you think a Rio S&D happens?
Yeah. Because neither one of these teams is going to play Terminal or High-Rise.
I got Toronto winning Rio S&D.
I mean, Toronto could try here's to the, fucking Terminal.
Here's the thing, though. It's like, Terminal is going to get vetoed. Terminal is going to get vetoed by Toronto.
It did get vetoed by them in the last series.
They might veto Karachi. I don't think Toronto might not square up with them on Karachi again.
Yeah.
But
they might veto Karachi.
I don't know, but Toronto does not play Terminal.
They share a map pool.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird one.
It will definitely be interesting.
Agreed. But any other final thoughts on the series, guys? Any final thoughts?
Miami goes to play Carolina next. We'll talk about that at the end of the show.
Okay. Phenomenal. Let's move on. And then we got the last series of the day. This series gave me a heart attack. I was fucking stressing out watching this. We had a good little watch party today. We had FaZe Temper in there, Nade Shot, Sam LaRue, Octane was in there. We had a FaZe versus Mud Dog was in there.
Kason. It was owners versus owners
vibe in the watch party. And man, did we get a good series, bro. It was back and forth. It was a great one. Scroll down, take a look. Pretty balanced stat sheet as well. I think both teams were just throwing down a lot of damage, and it was getting grueling for sure. But, Sam, let's start with you. I mean, this is your squad. You got the LA Thieves shirt on. You also put the ring on, Sam. I don't think the ring helped today.
The juju was gone out of
the
ring.
The juju was gone. You lost the juju. But, Sam, talk to me. I mean, what happened today with LA Thieves? I actually thought they played great, to be honest with
you. They played fantastic today. This series went way better than I expected to, which I think is also not a great sign for FaZe moving forward in the tournament. But maps 1, 2, and 3 looked great until we choked a 5-3 lead in the map 2 for a potential 3-0 in the series. Maps 1 and 3 were genuinely clinical. Like, they took care of business. They did exactly what they needed to do. And they beat FaZe in control, which is by far and away their best mode. So I was super impressed with that. The 5-3 game 2 was a rough one to watch for sure. Once it kind of hit game 4, I wasn't really confident for them to beat FaZe on a real hard point. So once we hit the game 5, that's where I was like, this could go either way. LAG just beat FaZe on it. So I thought there was an opening there, but They just kind of took care of business.
I'm gonna be brutally honest here. I do not care that they had a competitive series because with FaZe, they share a very similar map set, so they're getting a lot of the maps that these guys are well practiced at and have found success on. And it's kind of the same thing with like Vegas and Ultra. It's like they made improvements, but they still have a clear liability on their roster. And people will say, like, I'm hating, but no, bro. It's literally blatantly fucking obvious. You have a player on your team that's not shooting back. Afro is not playing well, and he's especially not going to play well against these top four teams. He does this thing in search. I've even said it. Whenever he's playing search, he does make some plays, and he does win them some rounds. But when it comes to the respawns, it's the same story every time. It's like you have Dan Ghosty doing his thing. Kremp has his maps and stuff like that, which he played phenomenal today. He had a fucking phenomenal series. And then Nasty contributes. Like, he puts up damage, but overall, he doesn't get a lot of kills. And then Afro just is nowhere to be fucking found.
Yeah.
So can I expand on what you said? Because I see morons in the effing fucking chat.
Ah, Jesus Christ, bro, man.
To Chris's point, these teams have very overlapping map pools, right? And so you're going to get series like this where I see people like FaZe trolled Vito's. FaZe picked Team B, they picked Invasion Search they won, and Rio fucking Hardpoint that they won. So I don't know what else you want them to do. Like, they're not going to play sub base, so obviously Thieves, if they're comfortable, they're going to pick Invasion. Yeah, I don't know what else
you guys... They just have overlapping map pools. Both teams play these maps.
I don't know what else you guys want them to do, bro.
Wait, Nate Shot, you said, was in the watch party, right?
Yep, he was there.
So he was watching Afro get world starred?
He was watching the whole series from start to finish, Pat.
So hopefully we'll see some changes.
This team's just like Vegas, bro. They have a clear upgrade path. I don't really know what maybe they see in Afro that is potentially important to their game dynamic, but just from a gameplay perspective, to statistical perspective, like everything that you can think of besides their search and destroy gameplay, he's just a liability.
Well, Chris, you said that Miami needs to drop the Spanish cheese, right?
Yeah.
Does LA Thieves need to drop the European cheese?
I mean, potentially. I think Nasty's not bad. Like I said, it's just one of those things where they have one clear upgrade they can make, and then maybe in the future, if Nasty is still not really helping them, but I think he's playing fine. Like, I think he's playing enough to contribute to the team and be on it. It's more like Afro's just not doing shit.
Yeah. Like, I don't really concern myself with Afro's KD as long as it's not blatantly costing. Like, a 0.85 to like a 1.0 is whatever.
It's the damage.
But, bro, he has 5,000 less damage than anybody on his team. Like, that is...
Even
Draza, he does an L trigger.
Even Draza, who had a very similar KD, still had like almost 18,000 damage. Like, he's shooting his gun, he's contributing, he's putting down shots, he's hitting nades, hitting stuns, whatever. Where is it?
Yeah. And then on the other side, with FaZe, I mean... I think going into it, we all thought FaZe was going to make this look easy, and it didn't look like that at all. I think it got a little scary, especially Sam in the map number two. Like you said, like, this could have went LA Thieves' way. So is it scary for FaZe, or are you worried that FaZe had this performance? I mean, Pat, we'll start with you on this. Are you worried for FaZe after the performance they showed today, or are you still feeling pretty confident with these guys? I know Draza really struggled today. He had a rough series, but, you know, it happens. What do you think, Pat?
Yeah, I'm not worried. I still think this team is confidently top four. I think I just think this was a bad series. And the fact
that
this
was like a, sorry to cut you off, but do you think this is like a starting slow kind of thing where adjusting to the tournament?
We've seen that before, right? Like, FaZe has some tournaments where they start slow and then turn up. I like to see that Simp was frying. Like, that guy has been insane and continues to be insane.
Yeah, agreed.
And Draza, I mean, hopefully he just has one of those, like, he's laying in bed tonight and he tweets out, I'll show you who God is or whatever, and then shows up tomorrow and World Stars.
Nah, his tweet after the series was funny, but... I mean, to be fair, I mean, listen, Tyler had a tough first map. He then turned up in the map, too. It's a case of, like, both BZ and Draza, I think, finding big impacts in certain maps. Like, Tyler turned up in that map, too, when they made the comeback. And then Draza got world star in the control. He got world star in the beginning of the Rio. And then on the second half of the first rotation and the second rotation, I think he ended up positive on that map. So I think for FaZe, it's almost a little bit of a hangover they had from the LAG series. And I think what the weird thing is with this format, with all of these teams, is like, it's not like old formats where you would have played tomorrow, right? You got to quickly regain, scrim, and figure it out. They get a day tomorrow to play like two or three scrims and work on whatever issues they have, game plan for New York, and get it going. So I think there's some vulnerabilities there. I think, you know, a little bit iffy, but you know, you just got to get past the winners round one against a team, by the way, you beat, and they're hungry to beat you after you beat them 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if they play like this against New York, they will lose.
100%. I agree.
They will lose that series. So I think that, I think.
Well, I don't know, because if New York plays how they did against Boston game one, might just have a shitter series.
But let me go map by map, bro. The first invasion hard point, I don't know what FaZe is doing. I don't know who's not blocking or who's fucking up spawns, but like that's how that map got away from them in the middle of the first rotation, the second rotation, bro. They kept flipping themselves on P2s and P1s.
Yep, I actually have an example of that. It's actually the first clip I have.
I don't really know what the thought process going on there is.
So here's an example. I mean, this is one, and this is where it started. I mean, this was the map number one. I mean, FaZe, they were down pretty early. What's the quality? I always up this a little
bit. Reset in the series too, because Dan had PC issues.
You can see here. I mean, I'm just gonna let this play out. So it starts with Abizi. Abe is the one who's kind of going really rogue here, which I'm not sure how you guys feel about the play. But then after, and maybe this is what they want. Like maybe this is what FaZe wants.
They just don't want to play P2 from.
They don't want
right. They
want
to play P2 from gas side and spawn them Palace. But instead, it kind of gives LA Thieves the P2 rotation, and then they kind of lock down time here, and they stay pushed out, and FaZe kind of gets blundered here.
You know what's crazy? So, like, ideally, yeah, you don't want to play from the Palace side, but I think I'm a very big proponent of, you want to take what you're given, and at that point in time, you're essentially given a free rotation to P2. I think somebody was able to easily push up into, like, Broken or even get an early setup there.
Yeah.
Sure, have Abe lurk, right, and, like, end up, like, pinching that late. Simps but everyone else, yeah, seven should just basically should just hold chill around Broken or P2 and basically anchor at least, like he should basically be a barrier for that rotation, and then let his teammates kind of, like, play around that and cut off the players that are coming off of old P1.
Yeah.
But instead, they all kind of just go rogue. They give up a lot of map control, and, like, if they would have got the kills, it would have looked like they were geniuses, right? But they didn't. They ended up walking in L-triggers and just dying.
I just think they all push. I mean, right here, if Abizi's calming that he's pushing this out, and especially with 30 seconds left, I would like to see just Simp just maybe, like, play a corner, you know, try and play a kill, like maybe lurk Broken and just kind of hold. He ends up getting a little rogue and he gets caught out, and then the spawns flip, and this was just a mess. Honestly, the first hard point for Atlanta was a little bit of a mess here.
They're just skipping steps. Like if I were them, like in my shoes, what I would have wanted them to do is, let's say Simp maybe push a Broken or hold that tank. Let Abizi do whatever he wants. He gets a kill and dies, regardless, whatever. But hold from that hit, from that fortress spawn, if needed, for the first wave. And then once you get that first wave on P1, then push out and try to flip. But like they're just getting overzealous right there, and they're just hoping that like the perfect scenario plays out. And
well, Sam, what do you think? Do you like FaZe playing for gas there and kind of overplaying the gas spawns and because it almost looked like they wanted to flip them there. So like, what did you think there, Sam?
I kind of agree with Chris. The thing about P2 spawn is you can hold from either side on the initial wave, but the palace spawn is the primary spawn. So whatever side that you win your initial hold from, they're going to, unless you're hard blocking palace, most of the time they're going to end up spawning out regardless. So I think that Tyler kind of had the freedom or Abizi to do whatever he wanted right there.
Yeah.
But to Chris's point, I think if Simp had just had the foresight to play Broken, or I don't know, obviously, what the comm sounded like, but to kind of hard block Palace to allow Tyler to run around, do whatever he needed to do, and then force flip them after the first initial hit.
Yeah.
That obviously would have probably played out a little bit better.
And then we get into the round 11. This was the map number two. This is the map where FaZe was actually able to bring it back. And they get the bomb down. Now, I wanted to talk about this retake from LA Thieves. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, FaZe were able to get the bomb down without being contested. I don't know how you guys feel about LA Thieves kind of giving up this site. Did they give it up off the rip of the round or no?
I think FaZe, clearly from the beginning of this map, had a game plan for how Nasty plays this site. Because I think they were leaning B heavy and going fast. And I think they kind of knew that Nasty plays this very slow. And I don't think Nasty ever adjusted or they ever really doubled up to try and counter what FaZe is doing on these offenses.
Yeah, I like the strat call from FaZe because they end up just getting the bomb down and staying alive Broken and stuff. I just didn't understand the retake from Thieves. So it's like, okay, they're on the bomb, right? You save your tax. I mean, they didn't really save their tax. They actually did throw their tax. I think Nasty threw his tax. And
why did Kremp not?
Kremp comes all the way back to the dog to voluntarily triple hit it in a 4v4, man.
Because I remember we were watching this in a watch party, and Matt, Nate shot, he was like, oh, it's a great pinch. It's a great flank. Like, this is perfect. And then he just turned around and ran all the way back.
This is like shooting fish in a barrel. Like, you have every, you have the whole map. You know,
how much information you have.
And he's checking all the corners here too. I mean, I just wouldn't expect anybody. You hear all the noise. I'm sure Dan and Nasty see all. They're getting all this info. They know phases on this site.
Like, he shoots, which is why he starts like tweaking and running away. He shoots at somebody on the street, but even then, like, phase is forced to turtle in this setup now because Kremp took the pinch. Like, he has blue, he has treehouse,
and him voluntarily
giving that up. Also, like, people are saying he got seen in chat.
It doesn't matter.
Somebody has to be dictated to watching that area of the map, and like, if they're pushed up with this much map control and you already cleared back blue, the only place that a player can be right that you do not have information on is maybe treehouse at that point. You know that that's the only place. Take the fucking 1v1.
Yeah.
If you win it, you win your team the game. If you get there and there's no one there, well, you know they're all pinned on site and broken. And then that's an easy, that's a way easier retake than all hitting through dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Voluntarily triple hitting dark in a 4v4 is just fucking insane.
I didn't like the triple dark either. I would rather them just kind
of. Especially like no smoke.
Yeah. Like either rotate, come back through CD and try and pinch broken where Kremp was. Like if they collapsed on the pinch, it would have been perfect. Yeah. Or if not, just pick the rest.
If you can get that guy off the tank, it's probably doable. But they literally were just walking over fucking crossfire with the BZ.
Yeah. Having a guy in that tree, it just denies the tank completely. So they have to play forklift and cube. And then you end up, you skipped it. But like as the round plays out, did you guys not see FaZe double stacking the forklift?
Yeah,
like
they were the double stack forklift.
Like they were just fucked. Like they were under the impression that they were gonna get like hard pinched.
Yeah,
they were probably just mind blown. The whole team sprinted out dark.
BZ's literally sitting on a tank, looking at like some. He's looking at the palace hop. He's looking at ice cream. He's looking at the fucking the mid dark alley. And what he ends up doing is just lying next to the tank and letting the second guy run across and he kills him after MC got the first kill. Like,
yeah, they were probably just mind blown that they just sprinted through dark and gave him the freebies.
Are you gonna say though, Pat?
Yeah, Pat, you were gonna
say something.
I was gonna
say, guess who remains undefeated in round 11.
Oh, I'm guessing FaZe.
Are they undefeated? 4-0. 4-0.
Wow.
That's typical.
It's good. It's a good stat to have. And then this is where FaZe collapsed. This is an example of FaZe making a mistake, in my opinion. I mean, it was a good play from Thieves. They end up winning the offense here, and they end up taking the control. It was all defensive wins. I thought we were going into an overtime. You could kind of see how everybody just falls from FaZe, and Elliot Thieves was able to work this collapse. I mean, if you're Atlanta FaZe, well, anything you would have done differently here, they seemed super turtled here in laundry. And
they
fucking
were just fucked. Like, they got,
I would have asked Draza to spawn in.
A couple of our
kills. Zach was having a tough match.
You mean nine?
Well, they did get a first blood here with Celium off the the respawn, so I kind of want to see like what routes that Thieves took.
Yeah, I actually like the routes. So they went around. Like they had somebody slow play front, somebody slow play cafe, and then two guys went around. And you can see Ghosty now, like, getting through. He's able to find one, put some shots down into the other, and it all collapsed. I mean, that's the best thing to do, in my opinion. Like, somebody slow play front, then play through mid, play through left, and kind of, like, funnel them. And
I mean, it just comes down to, I think, somebody on FaZe didn't watch the pinch, like, the back, like, mannequin pinch, like, towards mid-map. At that point, like, they were just, like, trying so hard to deny the cross. I think it's number 6. You'll see him, like, he's really trying hard to, like, stop his teammate from crossing. But
yeah.
I think with how turtled you are in the setup, like,
you got to trust your teammate, I feel like, on hill, number 5, to just win the fight.
He also gets bad timing because I think two people are in mannequin here, and one of them is just kind of, like, staying down, and he ends up rotating over towards laundry. But the other guy, he kind of has mid-cross, so he's probably under the assumption that nobody can hit back blue, and I think somebody on Thieves, number 1. Just gets a really good timing and flanks them. So.
Yeah, that was a good play. And then I just have a couple examples from the last S&D, the last map. I mean, this is one of them. Just Afro kind of going a little rogue and over-challenging. I mean, it's a 3v3 situation. And, you know, you expect Afro to just kind of throw some shimmies here, keep his gun up.
3v3, Tom. And, okay, so the
he
way
he slides out like an animal.
Sorry to cut you off. The way this round opens up, it's a 4v4. They double-chow bottom, Simp and Ibizi. They get one, they get traded. And the bomb is down. So FaZe back up and have to re-hit this. And, like, all Afro and they have to do is, and I assume they knew the bomb was down based on the fact they killed Chris. Like, just play around the info, play around the trades, and instead just absolute rogue plays going on here.
Yeah, it was just too rogue. I mean, they're just over-channeling. Like, you saw it firsthand, and it just started. You're right. They did try and push, like, they did a little underground push here, and Simp hands up fine. I thought Kremp was going to have two here for a second. But he finds one good trade from Ibizi, and Ibizi gets out. He almost gets traded here. But Afro doesn't finish the kill. I mean, I don't know if they knew bomb was down, Ben.
I don't think they knew bomb was down.
Because it was moving so quickly, they didn't have an opportunity to check. But I just think Afro over-challenging there. It just they just give the kill to him. He just gives it to him. And just makes it a lot easier for him. And then we go into another round. This is a 1-1. I think LED is only won two rounds from the whole entire map.
Yeah, there's a reset in the seventh round of this.
But then even here, it's kind of like the same exact situation where look at MC underground, and you see the same thing. They just kind of run at him. It starts with Kremp. He goes down. And then you have Afro underground, and he tries to push it. Look, Afro tries to push on defense. And then he falls again, and then it's this.
Why is it so hard? And why is it that so many times I watch teams play this map, they refuse to group? It's like, okay, we're in a 3v4, and like they just killed our player underground. Like Afro, back the fuck up. Like let's go try to take some space. Let's
together.
Go like hit out Heli or something together. Like let's maybe like team shot B Street. Like they're just all sitting there with their pants down or making a solo play and just getting picked off one by one. Like,
yeah.
You got to group up, and you got to retake some sort of space on the map. It's the only way to bail yourself out. And especially on this map, it's like you can afford later in the rounds to kind of give up that B Street, especially if like you're either up man or down man, because you can take Heli, isolate the player that's kind of watching that like pinch, and then you can just get a height advantage over the players that are towards B.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, it's actually interesting because I thought the last few times we watched FaZe play this map, I felt like that was their problem. And I felt like in this map, especially once they got going in the middle, they were doing a good job grouping up and taking B Street control, taking bottom middle control. They were playing around to cause chaos to let Tyler get in their spawn. Like I really like the adjustments from FaZe, and like the issue in the first S&D. I don't think that Thieves really had a plan B in these searches, and that ended up, I think, being the big difference in this series.
Yeah. I think they just had poor mid-game adjustment. Like, we saw a pretty similar, which granted is kind of a default setup from FaZe on defense pretty much every round, and there was no, like, proactivity to really do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow we got Heretics versus Carolina, Vegas Legion versus Seattle Surge, Boston Breach versus Minnesota Rocker, and the Los Angeles Thieves against the Los Angeles Gorillas. These are all elimination matches. So if any of these teams lose, they will be eliminated from the tournament. I said we give some predictions.
Real quick before we move on. Simp also made history. I saw somebody in chat
pointed
out.
So
he's the first player in the league to have back-to-back 100 bombs,
I don't know if he actually
100 kills in a series.
I don't know if he actually did. Go. Do you have the stats?
He had 97.
I think they might have pre-popped.
Did they pre-pop it? They pre-popped the stat.
Oh,
that's
they
crazy.
Pre-popped it.
The stats
mind.
Were wrong. But that would have been
wrong.
Fucking terrible, though.
That would have been terrible. That would have been far.
GG, boy.
But I mean, I feel like it also matters, too, when you go to a last map, you go to map 5. Like, that shit matters, too. You get more kills.
Chris, where did you get that from?
Bro, they put it up
on the stream. It was on the stream.
It was on the stream, so I kind of just remembered it. I didn't even look at the actual stats. Why the fuck did they pre-pop it?
I don't know. They were trolling. They actually did have some interesting stuff on the broadcast. Did you guys see the controller cam they showed on the?
Yeah, that was weird. That was
awesome.
Those controller cams are fucking terrible. You can't even see what they're doing.
It's a sponsor deliverable, bro. You got to make sponsors happy, man.
It was a good sponsor integration. It was completely pointless information, though.
I think the controller image is too flat. Like they need to add better texture to it so it kind of stands out. And it's a little bit better to look out. I like the idea. With a couple of tweaks, I think it could be pretty good. But
did they spectate Kenny when they did it?
They were on Snoopy when they did it. I remember.
There would be a lot of YYs. They had Austin. Austin was doing a lot of YYs, actually. But what do you guys think of this bracket? Loser's bracket right now. Obviously, I think this is what we predicted. Any matchups you guys are excited for here?
I am excited.
I think Breach Rocker could be good.
Yeah, I think Breach Rocker would be good. I'm also excited to see what Carolina does tomorrow against Miami. Yeah. Like, I'm expecting Carolina to come out and take care of Miami, and maybe they can catch some fire and make a run. I mean, I always love watching Clay. He brings a lot of passion, so that'll be a good one. And I think Vegas should comfortably win against Seattle tomorrow. We'll see what kind of Seattle we get tomorrow. But if you're Vegas, I think today was a good showing. They just fell a little short to Toronto. Not a little
My bracket's
short,
perfect right now. I know that.
And
I
hope just
every
just
single
for
person in this call and chat
everyone has a perfect bracket.
And for reference, so because you guys are curious which is the fifth matches. So the bottom two matches, Boston Rocker is first and Thieves LAG. So they're gonna play their loser round two match between whoever wins that for top six tomorrow. And then the two teams at the top will play that first thing on Saturday.
Okay. Well, let's do some predictions. I got my for the first one, I'm gonna go Carolina Royal Ravens 3-1 over to Miami Heretics. Ben, who do you got?
Oh, bro. I Carolina 3-2. I hope and pray they show up tomorrow.
Chris, who do you have?
Carolina, just because I really want Heretics to blow it up. And at least Carolina have, Gwyn on their team. They got somebody on there that's
guys.
Pretty good.
Sam, who do you have?
I have Carolina as well. I think Miami has shown me enough in their three series that I've seen.
Yeah. Pat?
I think Carolina is going to win, but I kind of hope they don't, because I've seen this before where teams, you know, they might win this one, they might win the next one, and they get a little confidence and they don't make roster changes that are desperately needed. Mm. So I hope Carolina lose to make a roster change, but I think they'll win.
Well, I think Carolina, even if they win, they would probably play, I'm assuming, Legion here. I'm sure most of us are probably going to go Legion. And even if they go out after that round, like, there's no way they don't make a roster change again.
Yeah. And then we have the Vegas Legion going up against Seattle Surge. I want to go Vegas 3-0.
Vegas 3-0.
What do you think, Ben?
I will give Seattle one map, but the respawns are going to be not close to this one.
Vegas 3-0. Vegas 3-0. Sam?
Same.
Pat?
Same.
And we got the Boston Breach going up against the Minnesota Rocker. I'm going to go Boston in this one. I'm going to go Boston 3-2. I can actually see this being a good series. I can see this being a grueler, but definitely think this is an opportunity for Boston to come out, get a big dub. I know Minnesota, they had a rough stage too online. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. But I'm going to go with Boston here. I just think they have the edge right now. I'm going to go 3-2 Boston. Ben, who do you got?
This is like a true pick'em series, I think. I mean, right now, I'm more confident in Boston winning S&Ds than I am a Rocker, so I go with Tom. Boston 3-2, another heartbreaker game 5 for Rocker. How many they've had this split?
Yeah. Chris, who do you got?
I got Boston, but I think this is a coin flip series. I want Boston to win because I really hope that Minnesota finally pulls the trigger on their roster change, because I think that these guys, with the way that they did play in the first stage and even at the beginning of stage 2, like, they have good pieces on their team. If Lamar keeps playing the way he is, I think Vivid's been okay. Linz has been great, but Wake has just been, again, like, every team just has a liability. And I feel like there's a clear upgrade path here, and there's actually a lot of ARs and challengers. You know, naming maybe one of them, Dylan Rex on FaZe Black Academy, who's can probably play the same role that Wake does, right? You expect him to be very kill-heavy, and he puts up a lot of kills. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, Sam, who do you got?
I'm going to take Rocker, I think. Okay. I think they'll show up a little bit better than they did online. And to be honest, it is pretty much a coin flip series, but I have a good feeling about Rocker tomorrow.
Okay, and Pat, who do you got?
But before I give you my prediction, I just want to – I'm not lagging on your guys in it, am
nope.
I?
Right nope, now. You're good. We're smooth.
Okay, because I just ran a speed test, and 1,000 down, 1,000 up, one ping. This Xfinity internet, Tom, is something serious.
Yeah, Slay, you looking smooth. Slay, you looking smooth over there. You know what I mean? That's good work. It's a good little shout out there.
I got Rocker, though. I got Rocker in this one.
You got Rocker, Minnesota Rocker? Okay.
Yeah.
So two, Rocker for Sam and Pat, and then the rest of us got Breach. And then let's go to the last one of the day. We got the Los Angeles Thieves going up against the Los Angeles Gorillas. I thought these looked good today. I mean, granted, LAG did get the double over FaZe online. I don't know. I just have a good feeling with LA Thieves. I think they're going to come out and bounce back after their loss today and make something happen. So I'll go LA Thieves 3-1. Ben, who do you got?
You know, I'm going to say LA Thieves 3-2. I think we get LA Thieves swing the other way to Gritty One, but they close out against LAG.
Okay, Chris.
Last out.
Listen, LAG backs against the wall. Nah, they got a lot of pressure on their shoulders to show up here. Obviously, they had a dog shit online stage, but, you know, they came out with one win against FaZe, and they're going to ride that confidence. I go, LAG!
Bro, you might be, like, reverse cursing them, bro. Like, they win when you don't.
I'm just kidding. I got Thieves.
Oh, shit.
Get the merch and model the merch. I'm about to
I got Thieves.
Pat? Sam?
Thieves.
Thieves? Pat?
I got Thieves as well. Thieves has a franchise record of 8-1 after dropping to the loser's bracket. They typically bounce back.
So do you guys have Thieves winning then the other matchup they're going to play tomorrow, like getting top 6 and beating either Boston or Minnesota?
Yes. I have them losing to whoever drops from, I think it's like that.
Like on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mine.
I just think Thieves versus either Boston or Rocker. I think they've got the better map pulls. And again, S&Ds, I just feel way more confident in Thieves and Search. But yeah. They got to switch up that invasion hole, bro. Like, They got to do better mid-map adjustments and searches, because could come to bite them later on.
Yeah, guys, that's going to do it for all the series today. We obviously got more series tomorrow. Ben doesn't have a putter, I don't think.
I'll bring the putter tomorrow.
Do we want to talk about what Chris leaked earlier?
No.
Okay. What about the Major 4? I mean, yeah, apparently Carolina's not hosting Major Four. I mean, that's a rumor right now.
Four, no fans. We lost. It's over.
Yeah,
GGs.
Apparently there's no fans or something. Or yeah, and Carolina's not hosting. I don't know. Well, hopefully we'll get more information on that soon. But, guys, we got new merchandise. Coming to you soon. I got my man Gersh over here who's going to show you some of this stuff. I mean, you can even give me something, Gersh, if you want. But we got the – here, I'll actually pull it up. Hey, let's go over here so I can show you guys. First and foremost, let's get closer here. But, guys, we got the Flink logo on the front. Are you done? Okay, then on the back, we got the Flink. It's got a big mic. It says Fugaz on one side. It says We Are Live on the other. And then on the bottom, it says they scream your failures and whisper your success. So this is one T-shirt. We also got a beanie, Chris. Showing the beanie. We got a Flink beanie. Duarte's wearing that. It's an absolute pleasure. Uh-huh. We also got a white T-shirt here. Okay, Flink logo, simple design. Flink logo on the front, the Flink on the back. How you doing? That's what I'm talking about. And of course, we got an all gray sweatsuit. Ben doing a phenomenal job modeling that gray sweatshirt. I mean, he looks fucking great. He looks fucking phenomenal. Give it up. We got a full set. We got the hoodie and the sweatpants. Yeah, Chris got the sweatpants on. He's got it all on. He's got it all going. But guys,
put them on, Chris. Put them on.
Just want you guys to know.
He's wearing them right now.
He's wearing them.
Yeah. He's wearing them. Yeah, he's wearing them. I just want you guys to know, chat, this drop is going to be limited in past drops. You guys would buy stuff, and then a month would go by, and it would take so long to send the orders in, get them processed, and then send them back and do the samples and yada, yada. It'd take you guys a month and a half, 2 months to get your merch. We have all the merch in-house now, so we actually ordered it first. That way, when you guys buy it and purchase it, it gets shipped directly to you, and you should get it within the week. So obviously it's very high quality stuff. We definitely went on the pricier side. We wanted more higher quality. I mean, you guys can attest the quality is really nice. I promise you guys, I didn't want to get you guys t-shirts that scratch your nipples. You know what I'm saying? With the fucking, you know what I mean? So I hope you guys really enjoy it. Zuma.gg. We're going to be releasing this stuff, I want to do it noon, Eastern. So 12 PM Eastern on Saturday is when we're looking to drop this stuff. So limited items, get it while you can. If it does sell out, maybe we'll throw up some pre-orders, but if you guys want something, it's limited. So make sure you guys are ready for the drop. And also huge shout out again to Xfinity. We wouldn't be here without them. Fast, reliable, some of the best internet you can get. So make sure to show some love to Xfinity because we wouldn't be here without them. So huge shout out to them. And huge shout out to everybody on the show, man. Huge shout out to Pat, Sam, Chris, Ben. Huge shout out to everybody in the chat, everybody behind the scenes, Bepsi, Zach, FaZe Clan, Gersh running socials. I mean, it's been an absolute pleasure being here. Shout out to Jaden. He's the one who made these awesome graphics. It's just an absolute pleasure to be here. So just thank you guys so much. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, go to anchor.fm/theflank to check out all the audio sites that we're on. Go follow @theflank on Twitter. Gersh doing a phenomenal job running socials. And, of course, Zuma.gg. Go sign up. Go put your email in over there, and we'll get it going, ladies and gentlemen, and do what we got to do, all right? So Zuma.gg, it's an absolute pleasure. We'll see you guys tomorrow in the watch party, in the show, and we'll see you guys later, man. Take care. Brush your hair. Take it easy, and we'll see you guys tomorrow on another episode of The Flank. Goodbye.
Peace.